Welcome to the Raising Grace podcast. This is your host, Sheila Chester. I am the mother of three children, and I do not know what I am doing. So I'm contacting regular parents just like you and I to help me find the best ways to help my kids and myself thrive. And maybe in the meantime, I can help you thrive as well. We aren't so different, you and I. With a little grace, we can do this. This is my very first recording and edit of this podcast. Vanessa is my longtime friend. We met in high school over 20 years ago. She's the mother of four children between the ages of 13 and 20. She's a military wife to a Marine, and she's recently gotten her master's in science with counselor education and has started working in an elementary school as a school counselor. Her life experience and education are a deep part of why I wanted to interview her in the first place. I want to thank her for being a good sport and offering to be the first interviewee, even though she made me fly all the way to her house to interview her. Without further ado, here's Vanessa.
First of all, can you tell me about your family?
I am a military wife for 20 years. We are a military family for 20 years. My husband's in the Marine Corps and is coming up on 21 years here soon. We have four children together, three boys, one girl. We've kind of traveled around living in different states, California, Colorado, Texas, and now North Carolina. Originally both from South Dakota. We have two dogs.
Yeah. One of which is enamored with me.
He loves you.
He does. So you started as a mom a little differently than I did. How did you start as a mom?
I was a teenage mom. I got pregnant right out of high school, the summer after I graduated, with Mike, obviously. Not if I should have used anything, but I did. And he had already been signed up for the military, and I was getting ready to go to beauty school. And at Christmas, we got engaged.
But he had signed up for the military before finding out you were pregnant.
Before we even actually...
And you had signed up for beauty school before you found out you were pregnant.
Yes. And he had been signed up for the military. So even like before we were dating, he had... That was his plan. And we got engaged at Christmas time. And then we got married in March, 2 days after we had our first baby. And then a month later, I was moving to California.
A brand new mom.
Brand new mom, 19, and now in California.
And at that time, what did you know about being a mother?
Not a thing. Literally nothing.
What did your mom teach you about being a mother?
That you just do whatever you got.
You do what it takes. And can you talk a little bit about how your mom raised you?
My mom was a teenage mother, and I was the oldest, so I was that child. She was in a Catholic school when she got pregnant, and that was not acceptable. So she did what she had to do. She fought. She worked hard to make things work. And anytime an opportunity came up, she took it. And she was always looking for better. And sometimes that meant job changes. Sometimes that meant moving. Sometimes that meant multiple jobs. But always willing to change. Always willing to make a move for the better of herself and her children.
So your mom raised you as a single mom?
Yes.
So she was hardcore.
She was very hardcore.
What advice do you have for a woman who is going through an unplanned pregnancy, who is probably younger and unmarried or not in a relationship and kind of feels like they're out there all alone?
It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. And anything that's worth anything is is hard. And I think that regardless of being young or average age or old, it's hard. But I think you do your best and then everything will.
Is there anything you wish you knew before becoming a mom? Anything that would have made life just a little bit easier? Like if you could tell younger Vanessa, you could say, I have a secret for you.
I mean, I think I feel like you know, but that everything is going to be okay. And because it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's a scary situation. It's for me, I didn't want to repeat the cycle. It was a little bit hard because I was, essentially. I was older than my mom was, but I was still young and not prepared. But I don't think there's any tips or tricks that would have helped me one way or the other.
You just had that, I will get through this.
Well, I think that life changes constantly. I think the children that we're raising today even had, you know, a successful mom is, I don't know what that, but somebody who's done a good job with their kids, I think even their advice might not line up with the kids that we're raising today. It's different challenges. It's a different world. There's a whole technology thing that we've had to battle that, you know, I mean, we didn't even have as kids. So it's hard to take advice from somebody who didn't raise kids in the time that we're raising kids.
And I think everybody's lifestyle and life is going to be completely unique.
And then you have like geographical differences, like what raising kids looks like right now in the South here versus what it looks like in California it doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, we have 6.5 acres here, whereas we were in a duplex attached to somebody in California. That parenting style is completely different alone because of where we're located. So, I mean, we can't compare ourselves to parents we see that we think have it all together because we don't know their situation. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what obstacles they're dealing with or what advantages or disadvantages they have just in general with their circumstances.
But as a military wife, what I want to get across to other women is that you, even though you were married and you married the man that you had your child with, he was deployed.
Uh-huh.
Most of the first
couple years,
like 5 years of your marriage, to pretty scary.
Right.
So you were very much a single mom in those times. But you had the military community. So can you talk a little about what that was like?
Single in the sense like I had spurts of being alone, but I was supported. So like financially and stuff, I didn't have those stressors of being like a single parent because I recognize that that is not the case. And then I also had somebody who was supportive of me and loved me. And I also had a light at the end of my tunnel. So I knew that my husband and the person that I loved was coming back to me in this amount of time. Ideally, because there was some fear of him not coming back. So that was another challenge, daily challenge, because there was a lot of people being lost close to him at that time. But so that was a fear that most people don't experience in that particular situation. Not even most military people or wives experience what was happening at that time in life for us. But I think that being raised by a single parent, having kind of a role model, if you will, in that space also equipped me for being a military. Such an independent woman, take care of the things that needed to be taken care of. So I had that in my life. I knew what that looked like. I think that that helped me a little bit. I wasn't highly dependent on needing somebody all the time.
How did your childhood shape you as a mom?
I think generally when we think of our childhood, there's the things we want and the things that we don't want. So I was very appreciative of my mom and her kind of open-minded parenting. But there were other things that I wanted to make sure that I didn't want when I had a family or when I with my children. And one of those was a dad. Obviously, I didn't have a dad. He never wanted to meet me or be a part of my life. So I experienced like some tired parenting, and I was aware of kind of what that was. And some of that came out in how my mom managed some of my
choices.
Choices. Uncrowd choices. So she got the law involved when I broke the law. She was the one who called on me. And I'm grateful for that every day, that she was strong enough to enforce what she knew needed to be done, even though it was hard. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things I wanted to take, some things that I admired, and definitely some things that I wanted no part of.
Right. To and for your children's for future. Kids.
Yeah. Right.
And you're, I mean, to be fair, your children have a completely different family than you did,
right,
growing up. And a lot of that was not in your mother's control necessarily. Right. So, but you very much made sure your marriage worked for the sake of the kids and for the sake of your heart. You know, you don't make a marriage work just for the hell of it. So how have you and Mike made your marriage work through the surprise beginning into the life that it is today?
We're no quitters.
Not a quitter. That's right. Even though you want to every single day.
No. I want to wave my white flag and go cry in a corner and forget about being a responsible adult on a regular basis. But no, all joking aside, we love each other. We love each other, and we don't want to know what life is like without each other. So I think that's really the biggest, most important thing, even though sometimes we don't see eye to eye or there's differences, and there's always differences. And I think that's part of the magic, being so different and having, you know, different ideas and being able to talk about those and then working through those so that both people can be a part of the process. Because if I'm single-mindedly doing it all my way without his help or without his input, then my kids only get half of an opportunity versus having two people who totally love them and are invested in them and, you know, are committed to their future and their life. If you're not open-minded to each other, which isn't always pretty, and it doesn't always come out so well.
Gracefully.
Gracefully. But I think for both Maya and I, we know what we want, and we want the same things, and we have the same intentions for us and our children. And even though we don't know how to do this, we know what we're committed to.
What do you do to help at least now Mike has a stable, not deploying very often. Mm-hmm. How do you guys handle work-life balance, especially now that your kids are teenagers?
I don't know that we're handling quirk like that. But what it looks like right now, so I'm actually off for the summer. And Mike is very busy with one of our boys in basketball, because Mike helps coach basketball and is very committed to, you know, giving some of these teenage boys opportunity. So Mike's workload is a little bit heavier now, whereas mine's lighter. And I kind of, you know, hold the fort down at home. So right now, I do most of the housework and the dinner and the cleaning and that kind of stuff. You know, he's obviously very helpful when he has time. But in the school years, I work longer days and he generally picks up a lot more of that household stuff. So he cooks more in those times. He's the last one to leave. So, you know, the animals, all of those things. He gets the kids off to school because I'm the first one that leaves in the morning. So he makes sure all their things are kind of together and off for them, and sees them off. And then they generally get home
before I do,
at least in the last previously. You know, they just stay busy with their school things. So, I mean, realistically, just winging it one, and we do it 1 week at a time. There's like a menu we do on Sunday, like, this is what we're making this week, this is what's going on. Because if we try to plan too far ahead, it's changed anyways. Something else comes up.
That's good advice. I sometimes, when I'll meal plan for like 2 weeks out, and by the time we're at day three, nobody wants what I planned from, like, but I worked so hard thinking about it.
Like, right, well,
nobody wants, like, what, nobody wants it.
Yeah, like, what, I mean, and when they're in sports, you have traveling, and there's just, you kind of plan what you can, and you have to have grace and willingness to adapt to anything, and you can't let it bother you too much.
Especially if it's four kids.
Yeah. And they're only in this space for a short amount of time that it's okay. It's okay if things don't look the way we wanted them to, and if I had to adapt and change. So,
and how are you asking the kids to help? You know, I asked you, between you and Mike, how do you make it all work? But your kids are 12 and up,
right?
And they're all seem to be pretty helpful. How do you get them to do certain? You haven't had to yell at anybody since I've been here. So.
Well, again, like, this time of year, I generally take, I generally, like, I'm doing the dishes. I do a lot, most of it, because during the school year, they, you know, show up, to help me out, really. And I know people will have an opinion on that, but I try to also not put my adult, problems or adult issues onto my children. So I expect them to keep their rooms clean and take care of their things. I expect them to take care of their academics. I expect them to be responsible for what's needed for their school things and their sports. And if they need something, or, you know, they obviously will tell us and we provide that. But as far as, like, you know, if you need your cleats and your helmet, then that's your responsibility to do that. I'm not
your jersey.
Your jersey.
I thought there was a situation yesterday.
Always a situation.
Jersey.
I mean, missing. I will forever be looking for game socks and certain underwear because they're lucky or whatever. For sure, I will always be that.
But when you're not asking them to do, you look at maybe the household as yours. And then their compartments is theirs. But, like, do they help out with the dishes occasionally? Do you have to ask them?
Yeah.
What parts of the household, like, do you have them do?
They help out. They help out when needed and where needed. So this has looked different all the time. So we've gone through phases where this is always your chore. And we've gone through, and that's lasted for a while. You know, we had somebody who was always responsible for the living room and vacuuming and dusting that space. And then we have, you know, and then we had an animal in the, sorry, that was awkward to say animal. We had an animal in there. So it would wait.
Which animal was this?
Well, not in the living room, but I mean, like, so you had, we when we had the horses, it was like, okay, you'd feed the horses in the morning and then you're in charge of the living room. And then another one would have horses in the PM and you're in charge of the dining room. And then you're in charge of feeding the pig and you're, you know, on dish duty. So we had it like that for a while and it's just always kind of changed a little bit. Then we would have like Saturday morning cleaning where everybody just contributed and did their thing, which is kind of where we're at right now, which is not necessarily a day, but like, hey, it's time to clean the house and everybody just does it. It's not necessarily that, you know, one person has a job. So it's kind of looked different all the time. And right now just kind of looks like when it's time, I need you to chip in and help. Otherwise, I need you to keep your space clean. Keep your bathroom clean, pick up after yourself, and it's about it.
I like how you do that, how you have a really good balance of, I'm going to do this for you. Here are your expectations, and we may shift and adjust as the seasons come and go,
right,
and as your ages come and go, and as your basketball and volleyball and this comes up and that comes up, we're going to adjust. So it's like you're constantly moving and shaking. It's not like, well, this is what we decided 10 years ago. And, you know, by God, we're going to stick with that.
Right. So, which is why we run it the way it is now, is because they're still children and they still have their responsibilities. So they have school. They're expected to do well in school. That's essentially their job. Boys have all been working for a while, so they have like actual jobs too. So with them going to school, with their sports or extracurriculars, like they stay busy. It's not for the lack of, you know, doing, you know.
But you're not catering to them, but you are. It's very much a meld of, I help you, you help me, we help each other.
Right. It's a team. And that's kind of what we've always tried to just work as. Like, it is a team and we are, I think that's the one thing, like, as a military family, like, that's all we have is each other. We don't have family close by. We've never really had family close by. The closest we've ever been to family is about 5 hours away. For a short amount of time, but we depend on each other and we rely on each other, and
that's what we're here for. I mean,
and that's what you're teaching them for the future too, is create a family that you can depend on and rely on, create a future that you can depend on and rely on.
Right. And don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to if it's not working, it's okay to
adjust.
And it doesn't always have to be the same. It's not always going to work consistently the way we want it to all the time. Things are going to change and you have to adjust.
Okay. Can you give me an example of a hard situation that you have had to parent through, either with one child or all of your children, or what's something that's really been challenging for you and Mike?
Trying to instill like good positive habits and technology. Technology is new. I mean, it's not that new, but as a parent, it's something that, I mean, you're not taught how to teach through these times. And just as soon as you think you got it figured out, something else is coming up. You know, social media and trying to make sure that they understand the importance of their privacy and knowing that once it's out there, it can't be taken back, and protecting themselves in that, you know, that people can take a picture or record or, you know, post anything about you anytime. So just not necessarily like those but just technology in general.
And that's a constant.
Games, like, it's always. And, you know, we fought the battle of our youngest right now is probably the only middle school child without a phone.
Oh, you are terrible parents. It's something that you need to come to terms with.
I'm like,
punish myself sometimes.
But I mean, like, and through that, through the technology, there's like the conversation of like addiction and dependencies and just trying to create like a balance.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, but I prefer the answer that you wrote down, and you probably don't remember what that was.
Okay, great.
So I asked you, if you were going to write a parenting book, what would it be titled? And your title was, Nobody Knows What They're Doing. And I think that's the most accurate parenting title one can come up with, because so many of us parents go into it thinking, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be great. And 5 minutes later, all of your dreams have come crashing through because you're chuck.
Never wanted to tell your two-year-old no.
You never wanted to tell them no. They are so, I'm never going to tell this sweet little baby no. And then in 2 years, you're telling your kid no every 2 minutes. And you never want, you want to be your teenager's confidant. And sometimes you got to be your teenager's enemy.
Sometimes you got to take their birthday away.
Can you share a little bit more about how you took your child's birthday away? Because that is fantastic.
Well, sometimes when you're not being respectful or nice, or maybe you have an attitude in you, sometimes you don't deserve things when you're acting a specific kind of way, and so you lose your birthday.
She did say happy birthday.
I told him happy birthday and that I loved him and I gave him a hug, and I think I made him something nice, but we always go out for dinner. We did not go out for dinner. We always get donuts in the morning. We did not get donuts in the morning. There was no gift. You know, I obviously love him, so I acknowledged him and his birthday, but he did not get any special.
Right. And this is a teenager, folks. This is not a 7-year-old.
Yeah, this was like a 15, 16-year-old.
Who had some attitude issues. And
yeah,
mom had nothing to take away except his birthday.
That's right.
As a mother, I've experienced just trying to find things to take away that are not harmful, but also effective.
Right.
And that is a constant battle for me with my son, is what can I... And so I'm going to keep the birthday maybe after he's 13. Yeah, thank you for that. I'll give you some royalties on that one. Where do you go for parenting advice?
I don't go anywhere.
It's all just right there.
No, but I pray a lot. And I ask for guidance and clarity. And I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows my children and nobody's in my situation. And when I say that the title of my book is Nobody Knows What They're Doing, I can't expect another parent to give me the advice when they don't know, when their situation doesn't look like mine, or, you know, their kids are not they don't have my kids. So I guess if I go to my husband, and that's the conversation that we work through together, and we kind of come up with our plan and what that should look like for our child. So I don't know that I go anywhere for parental advice
other than your husband.
Yeah. And then of course, like, what's the goal? What are we moving towards?
The goal
for our children.
Goal is always to not raise
a psychopath murderer. I think that is a good goal.
That's a good goal.
Yeah. I think let's set our bar real low and then move forward from that. No?
Yes. I say set the bar high.
High? So I should maybe go higher than psychopath murderer.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You should. If you give them an expectation,
not only
expectation, then you don't give them much to strive for. And I mean, it's
okay. Okay. Anyway. Higher than that. Okay. Okay. That's,
so
I like your
advice.
Just like get a job.
There you go.
That's a good one. That's
like not murdering and
productive. Move out of my basement.
There you go.
Get a job.
See, look.
Okay, look at that. I already got some parenting advice.
You're already nice.
Thank God. What do you wish other parents would stop doing? Because you work in a school situation. You see the good, the bad, the ugly. So what do you wish? What is one thing that you wish other parents would stop doing?
Comparing themselves to others. Assuming that social media is what everybody's life looks like when you feel like yours is falling apart because everybody else's looks so great. Assuming that when you see a kid that they don't struggle and they've got it all figured out and yours don't.
Making comparisons with other children and yourself as a parent.
Yeah. And equally so, assuming that you have it better figured out than somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Just stay in your lane, bro.
Well, it's just like sometimes I think about something that I always kind of think about, and I don't like to say this because I don't like what it does, how it feels, but sometimes you'll see parents bragging on their kids. And we say, so-and-so got this reading score on their test, but we don't know that the mom who cried herself to sleep because her kid cannot get it, what that does to them. And it's not, we shouldn't be comparing how that mom feels either. I mean, either you should still be able to post and brag on your kid, but it's something just like I personally feel. Like, I don't put all of my children's accomplishments on social media because I know that there are parents out there that are struggling and they can't do anything. Like, they've done everything. It's like potty training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done everything. I don't know how to get them to poop in the toilet. They've peed in the toilet for 6 months and I cannot get them, or bedwetting, or...
But Janice's daughter potty trained at 12 months.
Right.
And so why can't I be like that? So you're saying, you know, while it is great to brag on your kids, sometimes there's a limit, and by bragging on your kids, you may be putting somebody else down at the same time without necessarily knowing. But that's social media for you.
That, which is, you can't control that. So my advice is more on the one who's reading it. Just
the ones who's reading. Don't compare yourself with the person whose kid got this grade.
And Janice's kid is potty trained, but she's also, like, still on a pacifier. Does that matter? Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter, but, like, it might look real pretty here, but maybe they're struggling somewhere else.
Right.
We don't know. Or maybe, you know, nobody's posting
the negative,
the crap.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they are, they're glorifying it like it's
best day ever.
Yeah.
Magic.
What do you wish other parents would start doing?
Living their life. And not comparing themselves.
I'm fearing.
Just enjoy the day. Just take the day for what it is. Mm-hmm. Live in the moment. Put your phone down. Set limits. And enjoy it. It's past.
I know you just keep saying that.
Somebody said that to me and I was like, yeah, right. I can't wait till bedtime. And I was like, dang, they're moving out next week. So it's past.
How has your How have your children taught you to be a better person?
Well, mostly because I want them to be good people. So I try to be an example. And sometimes my children, most of my children are better than I am already. Better people than I was.
Do you think maybe that's because you did a good job?
Oh, no.
Not really. You wouldn't tell me, you wouldn't say that your children are a good representative of how you have raised them.
I would like to think so, but I think there's a lot of things that we have done that have helped them. So, like, they have two parents. They have structure. They've always had structure. We've always had, I did a daycare when they were all little, so we've always kind of had structured days and routine bedtimes. Like, we've always kind of maintained that, so their lives haven't looked so chaotic always. But I mean, I don't know, maybe.
You gonna give yourself a little bit?
I'm not gonna say they did a good job because they're not done.
They're not done yet.
And by and this is at what I know as a parent. When I say things are good, tomorrow they are not gonna be good. So I will never, never say that. Because things can go south.
What grace do you need to give yourself as a parent?
Knowing that it's okay to not be perfect, trying your best, and be willing to admit when you are wrong. Be willing to apologize and be willing to change and make adjustments when necessary. Being flexible and being open-minded and understanding of your team, which is your kids and your husband. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect. It never will. But it's going to, that's okay. And that's okay.
And what is giving you hope right now?
I'm proud of them. They're good people.
They are good people, though. Like, I look to you as an example for how I am going to parent. Because your children are so incredible. And every time I meet them and see them again, they're completely... They're all grown up, you know, every time they're way bigger than they were last time. It's hard not to look at your children and see, I mean, they are a direct representation of you and Mike. So, you need to accept that.
Well, I think they've, one of the things I'm really grateful for our military family and our life, is that they've been exposed to a lot of things. And they've had a lot of experiences, a lot of experiences that most people don't get. And they've seen a lot of different types of people. They've seen a lot of different communities. And they're resilient. They've been the new kid in school often. They've had to overcome fears. They've had to make new friends. They've had to be brave, many times. And so for those things, I think that they will be able to do hard things. And that gives me hope for them. That gives me encouragement that they'll be able to do the things in life that they need to do to thrive and hopefully succeed.
You did that.
I think I did. was that so hard to admit? But okay.
Sometimes.
How has your faith helped in the last 20 years?
It's, for me, it's everything. I have watched, you know, challenging things in my life happen. And I've been, it's always worked. It's always worked its way out. And I've seen God shift. I mean, from moves that have gone completely haywire and like it all working out. So after so many things happen where you realize you have no control and things just line up the way that nobody else could line them up, you start to realize that somebody's got your back. And when you're tired and when it's hard, they still got your back, and it's okay to, and by they, I mean God. And I'm a Christian, so I'm a heavy believer in Jesus. But it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to give it to them. That's what I do. And that's how I live my life pretty much every day. I've had a lot of obstacles that haven't worked out. I've tried a lot of things that didn't work out. And as I go on into this career now, I'm able to look back and see exactly why some things didn't work out. And I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I feel like my family is where they're supposed to be. And it's a lot different than it was 20 years ago. And it's nothing that we planned. And it'll look like anything we planned. So.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing your life with me.
Thank you for joining the ride.
Do you have any questions for me? You can ask me any question.
What's your one parenting advice?
My one parenting advice?
If you could give one piece of parenting advice, what would it be?
You can't control anything. Why is it so hard for moms to give themselves grace?
Because it's our most important job.
We're givers and not receivers.
We are givers and not receivers. And the job's not done. So I think there's a fear of claiming victory when the job is not ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So I could sit here today and talk to you about how these are my accomplishments and I feel like I've really had this victory in this, but you know, my kids essentially could decide not to have a relationship with me as an adult. And I think that is my greatest fear in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So to claim a victory today, I can't claim that because this isn't, it's not over.
You know, like you're jinxing it?
Not that you're jinxing it. It's just like it's work that's never done.
But can you claim a victory that you got them through 10?
Years. Well, like,
the first they're alive. Some pretty darn good.
I have kept them alive.
How do we grade ourselves? We did good. How do we say that to ourselves without feeling like, but it ain't over yet?
Well, I will.
You made it through first grade, did you not?
I would say, so for my little victories come with, like, comparisons to my own childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to break some generational things. So those are my own little victories, but I don't think that they need to be verbalized because I don't think that if somebody else didn't do those, that they're wrong.
You have to.
I don't think that.
You have to create your own grading book.
Right. And I don't think that
like a teenage, if I think that I don't want my kids to be a parent when I was a parent, I don't want somebody else to feel bad for that. And I don't want my kids to feel shame because I didn't want that. Like, I don't, but that's not my goal, obviously. Or, you know, different accomplishments for their 20s. I have hopes for that. That look different than mine because I don't want that for them. But if it happens, I don't want them to feel like they let me down either. So some of those things, like, I would verbalize to somebody, or I wouldn't say whether that's like a win or a loss for anybody. It's just my own personal,
like, you have your own little
hopes.
Yep.
And then if you make them,
give yourself a little star. We need to hand out some sticker charts for moms.
Yeah.
And you get a star for today. Did you make dinner? Everyone gets a star. Baby goals. We need baby goals.
Yep.
Just like in the diet programs, you go to Happy Cakes. You go to Happy Cakes and get a cupcake and not feel bad about it. And let's say they're not sold out. Fine, we'll leave.
I want to thank my very good friend, Vanessa, for inviting me to her home and being willing to be my first interview. I hope you gained something wonderful from this interview. If so, please share it with a friend or family member. You can find out more information about this podcast, including the show notes, on my website at SheilaKChester.com/grace. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Grace Podcast. This is your host, Sheila Chester. And as a reminder, I am not a parenting expert, and neither are my guests. Don't forget to give yourself and others just a little bit of grace today. Thank you.